From the studios of Free Radio Santa Cruz, you're listening to Earth First Radio. Stay tuned for No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music.
Clear cutting chainsaws killing the trees, softening everything that lives in peace. Our animal friends are on the run, but there's nowhere to go when the job is done.
Welcome to Earth First Radio. I'm Uncle Dennis. Each week I bring you No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music for activists on the front lines of the environmental movement. In the news, you'll hear about corporations, government agencies, and people who are killing the planet, and about the folks who have the detailed information on saving what's left. They all have names, addresses, phone numbers, fax numbers, email, or web addresses, so please get a pencil or a pen and some recycled paper to write down the information, because this isn't couch potato radio. It's activist radio, and I'm asking you to take down the information and act on it. You really can make a difference by writing letters, sending faxes, and making phone calls when you aren't out in the woods, up in a tripod or a tree sit, or locked down in the Dragon at the road blockade. If you have information, news, comments, or announcements for Earth First Radio, please keep your pencil handy and listen for the contact information later on in the show. And we're going to start off as we normally do here, with the activist news. That's what you tune in for. Here it is. Luxury homes torched in Tucson, Arizona. Local and federal authorities are investigating a possible connection between the arson fires of four Catalina Foothills luxury homes Tuesday and 11 similar fires in the Phoenix area during the past 3 years. Officials said it is too soon to say if there is a link between the Tucson fires and those in Phoenix, which were reportedly set by people upset at homes being built on the edge of a nature preserve. But authorities said graffiti similar to that found in some Phoenix arson scenes was also found at the Tucson fires. The letters CSP were scrawled in red spray paint on at least one of the home's walls, said Deputy Nicole Felt, a spokesperson for the Pima County Sheriff's Department. In Phoenix, where 9 houses were burned near the public Phoenix Mountains Preserve, and in Scottsdale, where 2 homes were burned near the public McDowell Sonoran Reserve, the letters purportedly stood for the Coalition to Save the Preserves. All of the homes were at least 5,000 square foot in size, and most cost at least $1 million. We haven't determined what it means here, Felt said. That's the only thing we haven't been able to locate so far. That it's similar to the Phoenix fires. Still, a Phoenix Fire Department firefighter and an FBI agent who were assigned to a task force that investigated the Phoenix fires traveled to Tucson on Tuesday to assist with the investigation, Felt said. We're not calling it eco-terrorism, and I don't know if we ever will. We don't know who's doing it, and if it's just vandals, or if they have a purpose. Until there's some kind of arrest made, we won't know. And late this afternoon, Thursday, the 14th of June, the FBI was about to make an announcement on an arrest, but as of news time, that arrest had not been put out on the Internet. No one was living in the homes in Pima Canyon Estates, Felt said. They had a total value of about $5 million. One of the fires was started at the doorway of a home, and the rest began on rooftops. They caused at least $2 million in damages. Investigators found a fire accelerant, a reed gasoline diesel mix, in at least one of the homes. They also determined a second blaze was set purposely because the fire began in several spots at the same time. And the story by L.N. Newell of the Arizona Daily Star. Moving to the Buffalo Field Campaign. There are a few of us here at the Buffalo Field Campaign cabin now. Some of our volunteers have been here all year, others the entire long winter season, which now in June is still not over. The first Thursday in June, a hazing helicopter chased a total of nine buffalo into the park, 6 from the Madison River and 3 from the Horse Butte area. After harassing the nine outside the park boundary, they decided to run three buffalo near Sandy Butte inside Yellowstone National Park, at least 5 miles further into the park. "We were all out in the field recording the mistreatment of these majestic buffalo, members of the only continuously free-roaming wild herd in America. It saddens our hearts to witness all of this, yet it must be witnessed, must be talked about, must be spread around until enough people stand up and raise their voices, lift their pens in defense of our wild and inspiring brethren. We are still doing daily patrols to help our furry friends, and at the same time we kicked off our summer campaign last week. A major part of our outreach is information tables at Yellowstone National Park. We talk to tourists and locals 7 days a week for the next 3 months. At this time, we have only 5 people here who are able to spend the whole summer in defense of the buffalo. Our other activists are moving on to other campaigns to visit their friends and family during the warm traveling months. If you have a couple of weeks this summer, we need some fresh energy out here, and it is indeed beautiful here at Hebgen Lake in the summer. We would like to table in the Grand Teton National Park as well as Yellowstone, but we need some more dedicated folks. If you are interested in coming out, email us and we'll give you all the info you need. Thank you for all your continuing support, encouraging letters and emails and prayers for the Buffalo Field Campaign. Their address, P.O. Box 957, West Yellowstone, Montana, 59758. That address again, Buffalo Field Campaign, P.O. Box 957, West Yellowstone, Montana, 59758. And if you want to give them a call before you come, I'd probably appreciate it. Their number, 406-646-0070. That's 406-646-0070. Or if you want to send them an email, it's buffalo@wildrockies.org. And moving to British Columbia, a Slocan Valley resident asked judge for the death penalty. Slocan Valley resident Ed Hyde was sentenced to 28 days in prison plus 2 years probation by Supreme Court Justice Mark McEwen after being found guilty of criminal contempt of court for defying a court order. "I don't want you to incarcerate me," Mr. Hyde told the judge before sentencing. "Instead, I want you to give me the death sentence because that is what's happening in the long run." Mr. Hyde was arrested on September 21st after he locked himself into an excavator that Slocan Forest Products was using to build a road into the Trosso Creek Domestic Watershed and Wildlife Corridor. And that in British Columbia, penalties for contempt of court, especially for environmentalists, have increased in recent years with a move from community service to extended periods of time in jail, including sentences of up to 1 year. A recent policy decision by the Attorney General's office now requires that those found guilty of contempt of court serve their entire sentences, unlike prisoners convicted of violent crimes such as assault and murder, who are allowed reduced sentences for good behavior. These extreme sentences and harsh decisions by the Attorney General's office do not seem to be having the desired effect in deterring further protests. Clearly, the courts are not impartial. Just weeks ago, 7 British Columbia mill workers received no jail time for defying a court order when they blockaded the dismantling of a West Fraser mill in Yubu. "Well, environmentalists aren't even allowed early release, something that is available to murderers and rapists," said James Jameson, a local water user. Already there is another protest underway at the north end of the Elliot Anderson Christian Trozo watershed. For the past 5 weeks, residents have been blocking Slocan Forest Products as the company tries to bulldoze yet another road into the watershed. Slocan Forest Products could be applying for a court injunction any day. And we want to thank the Slocan Valley News for that news story. Here's an alert from the Defenders of Wildlife. Help protect the Cascade Siskiyou Monument. Special interests are working to roll back protections for the Cascade Siskiyou National Monument, a spectacular wildland in southwestern Oregon. Backed by Governor John Kitzhaber, President Clinton saved this land by declaring it a national monument last summer. With lofty fir forests, steep canyons, and lush wetlands, it's an ecological treasure. The place where three mountain ranges converge, it provides undisturbed habitat for a rare assemblage of animals and plants. It's home to cougars, 3 endemic fish species, and one of the highest diversities of butterfly species in this country. But Interior Secretary Gail Norton is considering shrinking the size of this national monument and may open it to timber cutting and other commercial exploitation. What can you do? Send a free email to Secretary Norton or Oregon Senators Gordon Smith and Ron Wyden urging them to support the Cascade Siskiyou National Monument. Thanks for doing your part to save this unique wild place. If you have access to the web, go to the Defenders of Wildlife Email Action Center at www.denaction.org. That's denaction.org. Or if you don't have or you can send email to gail_norton@ios.doi.gov. That's gail_norton@ios.doi.gov. Now, if you don't have access to the internet, here's the snail mail address. Please send your letter to Secretary Gail Norton, U.S. Department of the Interior, 1849 C Street Northwest, Washington, D.C., 20240. Once again, that's Secretary Gail Norton, U.S. Department of the Interior, 1849 C Street Northwest, Washington, D.C., 20240. And be sure to tell the Secretary that you want to save and protect and keep as large as can be the Cascade Siskiyou National Monument. And moving to Montana, help stop the massive post-fire logging operation planned for the Bitterroot National Forest in Montana. The Bitterroot National Forest is pushing for a massive post-fire logging proposal for forests burned in last year's summer's wildfires. The magnitude of the potential post-fire logging proposal is staggering. Up to 280 million board feet of timber are on the chopping block as part of the Bitterroot National Forest Burned Area Recovery Plan. This is over 2.5 times the amount of timber that was sold from the Bitterroot National Forest in an 11-year period from 1988 to 1999. Or enough timber to fill 56,000 log trucks that could be lined up end for end for 475 miles. To make matters worse, the logging is proposed for environmentally sensitive forests that are already well into the natural recovery process. Regional conservation groups and Bitterroot Valley residents have united to develop a recovery plan for the Bitterroot that will facilitate true recovery while resulting in no additional damage. Our conservation and local economy alternative is driven by and consistent with recommendations of the scientific community and will proactively address the following needs. 1. It will facilitate the natural recovery of the burned areas. 2. Work directly to protect homes from future wildland fire. 3. Provide economic opportunities for local residents in Ravalli County. 4. Protect clean water and fully functioning watersheds. 5. Prevent the invasion of noxious weeds. 6. Restore wildfire into the forest ecology outside of the wildland-urban interface. And 7. Improve the scientific understanding of fire ecology. And 8. Improve the public's understanding of fire ecology and forest management. Take action. We encourage you to take a few minutes to compose a letter to the Bitterroot National Forest in support of our conservation and local economy alternative. Below is the important information to include in your letter: your name, address, and phone number. Your letter is addressing the Burned Area Recovery Draft Environmental Impact Statement, or DEIS. You support the Conservation and Local Economy Alternative. A recovery plan should not result in any further environmental damage. Every standing dead and downed tree plays a specific and essential role in the natural recovery of a burned area. Dead trees are not wasted resources. The scientific community has established that post-fire salvage logging provides no benefit to the post-fire forest and may in fact damage fragile soils, remove essential biomass, exacerbate the spread of noxious weeds, and destroy natural regeneration. Here's the address to send your letters. Mr. Craig Bobzien, that's B-O-B-Z-I-E-N, District Ranger, 1801 North 1st, Hamilton, Montana, 59840. Once again, that address for your letters to support the Conservation and Local Economy Alternative of the Burned Area Recovery DEIS is Mr. Craig Bobzien, B-O-B-Z-I-E-N, District Ranger, 1801 North 1st, Hamilton, Montana, 59840. Or you could send email to C-B-O-B-Z-I-E-N, that's C-B-O-B-Z-I-E-N at fs.fed.us. And please have your letters and email to Mr. Craig Bobzien by July 16th. Upcoming events: the Wild Rockies Earth First Summer Solstice Action Training Camp and Wild Rockies Regional Rendezvous. Join them from June 21st to the 24th for an inspiring weekend at the Cove Mallard Base Camp near Dixie, Idaho, next to the heart of the largest roadless area in the lower 48 states. They'll have workshops on tree climbing blockades, monitoring timber sales, wild plants, the EIS process. They'll also have music, beer, hikes, and a chance to see one of the most beautiful and pristine ecosystems left. You're urged to bring friends, bulk food for the community kitchen, a wild spirit, and a desire to join us in defending the great Salmon Selway ecosystem. After the weekend, Wild Rockies Earth First will be sponsoring a direct action tour of some of the threats that face our bioregion. And so get in touch with them for more information. Wild Rockies Earth First, P.O. Box 1742, Missoula, Montana, 59806. That's Wild Rockies Earth First, P.O. Box 1742, Missoula, Montana, 59806. And probably a good thing to give them a call. That date's screaming up on us, 406-721-3494. That's 406-721-3494. Or send email to wref@wildrockies.org. Once again, that's June 21st through the 24th at the Cove Mallard Base Camp in Dixie, Idaho, the Wild Rockies Earth First Summer Solstice Action Training Camp and Regional Rendezvous. Also coming up is the Band in 21 States. It's the Cascadian Solstice Troglodyte Rendezvous, June 21st through the 24th at the Goose Lake Lava Tubes in the Gifford Pinchot National Forest. And the lava fields are south and east of Goose Lake, Washington. Okay. Not going to give you all the complete directions. To do that, you'll need to send email to mickey@efn.org. That's mickey@efn.org. Once again, that's June 21st through the 24th, the Cascadian Solstice Troglodyte Rendezvous, Goose Lake Lava Tubes in the Gifford Pinchot National Forest, and generally that is north and slightly west of the white salmon fish hatchery between White Salmon and Carson, Washington. Here's a workshop, June 22nd through the 28th. This is entitled Building a Rural Off-the-Grid Ecological Base Camp. The workshop will focus on food, shelter, water, sewage, and energy, and will take place at the Permaculture Institute of Northern California, their new Skywater Center between Garberville and Xenia in Trinity County, about 4.5 hours north of San Francisco. Site is 100, it's a learn-by-doing hands-on workshop where you'll work with solar pumps, water tanks, build simple structures, including a camp kitchen. You'll set up and operate it, compost systems, solar showers, biological treatment systems for sewage and gray water, and create a water catchment systems and provide clean water for drinking. There is a $350 fee for this workshop, but it includes all camping and food. Some pretty interesting people are putting this on. If you'd like more information and to register, call 415-663-9090. That's 415-663-9090, or send email to pinc@svn.net. That's pinc@svn.net. Once again, this is the workshop on building a rural off-the-grid ecological base camp, June 22nd through the 28th in Northern California. Also coming up is the Dogwood Days of Summer, June 22nd through the 24th at the Coover River State Park in Missouri, about an hour northwest of St. Louis. $10. Well, it's no longer $10. It's after June 11th, but I bet you can still register. Whatever you have to pay will cover meals, housing, and entertainment. Children under 12 are free. For directions and logistics, contact the Dogwood Alliance. And their number, 828-251-2525. That's 828-251-2525. Or send an email to info@dogwoodalliance.org. That's info@dogwoodalliance.org. The Dogwood Days of Summer, June 22nd through the 24th at Coover River State Park in Missouri. Sounds like fun. Here's one that came up. I thought this was really interesting. Here's a chance to go to Brazil. Amazon campaign volunteers are required in August and September. Greenpeace is seeking volunteers for a unique and physically demanding project in a remote part of the western Amazon during August and September. Greenpeace has been working for almost 2 years with the Dene Indians of the Brazilian Amazon. The Denny's traditional land is under threat from logging companies, in particular the Malaysian company WTK, and we heard about them last week. Under Brazilian law, Indian lands have to be physically demarcated, that is, the boundaries have to be marked before they are officially recognized. Once the land is demarcated, industrial-scale activities, including logging, are forbidden. The Denny are now ready to take charge of their demarcation. With great pleasure, we will return to the Denny lands in August to assist them in this process. The Denny, in addition to the involvement of some of the existing Greenpeace Amazon team, have invited 6 volunteers to participate. Participate means to be a member of one of 3 teams that are demarcating the most vulnerable areas of the Denny's lands. One team will demarcate an area on the Kuniua River. They will post signs along the riverbanks advising people that the land is Denny. The other 2 teams will demarcate 2 areas of land near the Zerua River, each cutting a path 1 meter wide by approximately 50 kilometers long through the jungle. That's about 37 miles. And posting the Denny's boundary signs along these paths. Kuniua team will be based from a riverboat, whilst the 2 Zerua teams will camp in the jungle for the duration of the demarcation. They are looking for volunteers who can work in extremely difficult jungle conditions. Successful candidates must be in excellent physical condition and capable of hard manual labor in extreme conditions, be calm, patient, and sensible team workers, available from approximately August 10th until the end of September. Be prepared to write regular diary entries describing your experiences for display on the internet and for use in Greenpeace publications. Be articulate and willing to share your experiences with the media and Greenpeace supporters in your home country, and fluency in Portuguese would be a major asset. If you'd like to apply for one of these positions, send a sort of a resume, curriculum vitae, if you know what that is, and a cover letter via email to Ann Dingwall, D-I-N-G-W-A-L-L, Greenpeace Amazon Campaign, Manaus, Amazonas, Brazil, Manaus. And that's that email address is Ann, A-N-N-E, dot Dingwall, D-I-N-G-W-A-L-L, at dialb.greenpeace.org. Once again, that email address, Ann, A-N-N-E, dot Dingwall, D-I-N-G-W-A-L-L, at dialb, D-I-A-L-B, dot greenpeace.org. Applications must be received by June 23rd, and they will contact a short list of potential candidates by June 30th. Once again, that's the Amazon demarcation lines. Also coming up is the Earth First Round River Rendezvous, and that's happening in McCain Meadows, adjacent to the Little Gray River in the western foothills of the Wyoming Mountain Range, east of the town of Alpine, Wyoming, on the Snake River in the far west central part of the state. And if you want more information, contact Tweenot Earth First, P.O. Box 1588, Wilson, Wyoming, 83014. Once again, that's Tweewanot Earth First, P.O. Box 1588, Wilson, Wyoming, 83014. All right, we're going to take a little break here and listen to Uncle Dennis playing a song written by Joy here in Santa Cruz. This one's called Extinction is Forever.
Last night I had a dream, and she, Seattle, spoke to me. Contaminate your world and you will suffocate, said he. I thought about our mother Earth and all the pain she feels as the great machine of death crushes life beneath its wheels. Evil shall pass, wounds will heal, but extinction is forever. Every day more ultraviolet comes down from the sky. And every day the earth grows warmer, leaving land to dry. And every day the forests shrink and creatures lose their home. And every day the poison spills in our bodies and our homes. For eons, Mother Nature has known just just how to keep us cool by burying petroleum in huge underground pools. Corporations bought it up and then they fought a war that sent the oil into the sky and spilled it on our shore. Evil shall pass. Wounds will heal. But extinction is forever. They all have names and addresses, these destroyers of the earth. Roger Birch and Bud McCrary, you curse your children's birth. 1,000 generations cannot heal the harm you do, 'cause extinction is forever, and the people know it's true. So we go to the hearings and we march into the towns. We block the roads of those who try to bring the forest down. We beat us up with their clubs and they blow us up with their bombs. But to save our mother, we'll struggle without bounds. Evil shall pass. Wounds will heal. Grizzly bears no longer roam from forest to the sea. The spotted owls and condors perch no more on ancient trees. Now we must smash these damn machines before our world is gone, and raise our voices up to her in poems and dance and song. Now Gaia has been through many trials these long 4 billion years. Through ice ages and meteors, she's lived without a fear. But humans, we will fall and die just like the dinosaurs, or live to pass on Gaia's genes to worlds beyond the stars. These hills shall pass.
And Earth First Radio will be right back, so stay tuned.